The Word of God is living. It is powerful, infallible, indestructible, incorruptible, and it will work mightily in me.
And now, your host, Pastor Jerry Maya Williams, from the service Already in Progress.
Jesus told John to write this message to the church in Laodicea. Laodicea, the name simply means people speak. This church was more concerned about the words of man than they were the words of God. Do you hear what I'm saying? The Laodiceans, they prided themselves on their riches and their worldly wealth. They had a form of godliness, but they denied the power thereof. This church is a picture of the condition of the body of Christ, or the condition of the church before the Lord returns. The Lord will return, according to Jesus, and the message he told John to write, he would return to a lukewarm church. And he said, I wish you were cold or hot, but because you look warm, I'm going to spew you. I'm going to vomit you out of my mouth. So I want to talk about lukewarmness. What is lukewarmness? Lukewarmness is an attitude of indifference toward God, the Word of God, and the things of God. It's a slow-dying conviction not to, quote-unquote, be on fire for God. It's half-heartedness. It's the attitude that says, all this isn't necessary. And the Lord says, I wish you were either cold or hot. But because you look warm, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. Usually in the summertime, people lose their zeal for God, as I said earlier. Many people are on fire for God, and summer months roll around, and they sort of slack off. And in their minds, they begin to think, all this isn't necessary, not knowing that they're becoming lukewarm Christians, lukewarm believers. So what is the problem with being lukewarm? Here's the problem with lukewarmness. It's very simple. You're not cold and you're not hot. You see, if you were just cold, that might be all right, because if you're cold, spiritually cold, you can repent and you can get back on fire for God. Can you say amen? But when you look warm, you have this attitude that I'm all right with God. All that other stuff ain't necessary. And the Lord says, because you look warm, I'm going to vomit you out of my mouth. You see, when you're cold, I mean really cold, you want something hot to drink. Come on, is that right? And when you're hot, you want something cold to drink. But how many of you like me, you do not like lukewarm coffee or lukewarm tea? It is believed that in the first century, when this letter was written by John to the church of Laodicea, that physicians would induce warm water. They would give their patients warm water to induce vomiting. This is why the Lord is believed. This is why the Lord is saying, because you look warm, I'm going to vomit you out of my mouth. He says, you're wretched, you're miserable, you're poor, you're blind, and you're naked. This is a serious indictment of the church. And this is belief. This is the last day church. I believe we're at a place right now, the body of Christ, where there's a lot of wretchedness, miserableness, poverty, spiritual poverty, blindness and nakedness. Just last Sunday, I was watching a television program before we headed out for our vacation. And I caught this national preacher on the television. I'm not going to call his name, but years ago I invited him to preach at my congregation. We flew him in. He preached at our church. And I was so disappointed in what I heard last Sunday. Didn't seem like the same man that I invited to my church years ago. This man was preaching, and he was conflating the government with God. He was conflating the United States Constitution with God. When you conflate the government with God, when you conflate the Constitution with God, that is idolatry. We don't worship the flag. We worship God. And you see how insidious it is for them to make Donald Trump their God. I believe that God's going to judge the evangelical church. And I don't mind saying it. God's going to judge that. Joyce and I was just talking the way to church. How can so many evangelical Christians preach against immorality in their pulpits, but they're willing to support a candidate for president who's known to be immoral, proved to be immoral, indicted for being immoral, but you're going to preach against it up here, but you're going to support this man out there? I know what's behind it. I know what's behind it. All I'm going to say is the year 2043. You figure it out. The year 2043, and a lot of Christians, particularly white Christians, are afraid of what's going to happen. You know what's going to happen? I'll sneak it in. There's going to be more people to look like you in this country than them. More of them are dying every year than are being born. They're fearful. They're afraid. And they're willing to compromise God and His Word. I'm telling you, that's lukewarmness. And the Lord says, because you're not cold. You see, if you just be honest about it, you have racistic tendencies. You're bigot. You're prejudiced. Just be honest about it. And God says, okay, you're cold and you can repent. But when you're lukewarm, you try to hide all your sins and justify them in the name of the Lord. The Lord says, you're wretched. You're miserable. You're poor. You're blind. And you're naked. Why was the Laodiceans wretched and miserable? They were wretched and miserable because they thought that riches and worldly wealth was the same as spiritual health. And you see, that's what the prosperity message has done to the church. It's caused the church to become a lukewarm church. There is no such message called the prosperity message other than a message of heresy. The message of the Word of God is the message of the kingdom, and it's the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. It isn't about name it and claim it, get all you can get. And when you get it, you know you got it going on. It's not about the money you accumulate. It's not about how big your house is, how luxurious your car is. It's not about designer clothes in your wardrobe. But this is what the prosperity message has deceived us to believe, that when we get gain, we're really spiritual. I'm reminded of what Apostle Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6. He says that there will be people in the church with corrupt minds, destitute of the truth, just deprived of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. He said, from such withdraw yourself. That is not the message. However, godliness with contentment is gain. The Laodiceans, they weren't godly, and neither were they content. They were about accumulating riches and wealth, and they thought that what other people said about them was more important than what God had to say himself. And the Lord says, you're lukewarm. You're wretched. You're miserable. You're poor. You're blind and you're naked. Why were they poor and blind? Because they said, we have need of nothing. How do you get to a place where you don't think you need anything? When you get to a place where you begin to think and believe you don't need anything, you'll get to the place you'll believe you don't need God himself. It reminds me of the parable in Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16, is Luke chapter 12, verse 16. Jesus taught his disciples a parable about a rich fool. We don't want to be rich fools. I don't care how God blesses you, how much God gives you. You don't want to be a rich fool. Luke. Luke chapter 12, verse 16. Then he spoke a parable to them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops? Then think about giving to the poor. Then think about giving to someone who had need. What am I going to do with all my crops? So he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And then I will store all my crop and all my goods. And I will say to my soul, you know he's tripping, he's speaking in the third person. I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Now take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will these things be which you have provided? The principle in this parable is simply this. He who lays up treasure for himself is not rich toward God. I'd rather be poor in this world but be rich toward God than to lay up treasure for myself and not be rich with God. But I know if I be rich with God, he knows the things I have need of before I ask. And he promised to supply all of my needs according to his riches. He promised that if I seek him first and his kingdom, he says, all these things shall be added unto me. The Laodiceans didn't understand that message. They thought they had need of nothing because they did have riches and wealth. That is not the metric of spirituality. That is not the metric of having a relationship with God based on the balance in your bank account. You have an account in heaven, and that account never goes low. Did you hear what I said? And I've been walking with God for a long time, and one thing I can certainly say, Joyce and I, we talk about this sometime, even with five children, God has never forsaken us. We have never wanted for nothing. And some of you, you know about my ministry. I've been in the ministry. I'm 48 years in the ministry this year. 48 years. You've never heard me to beg for an offering or twist people's arms for money, because I know whose church it is. And he said, upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So we got to, as preachers, we got to act like we know whose church it is. And if the money doesn't come in, he's telling me to do something else. Remember when Elijah was on the run from Jezebel? He was running for his life, and he ran out into the wilderness. And he came to the brook Cherith, where he stayed there out of fear. Fear because this woman wanted to take his life. He was out there at the brook Cherith in the wilderness. And the Bible says that ravens brought him food twice a day. He ate from the food that the ravens brought, and he drank the water from the brook. Then one day Elijah woke up, and the brook was dry. The brook was dry. Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah and says, arise, go to Zarephath, for I've commanded a widow woman to sustain you there. Look at the lesson God is teaching us. If the brook dries up here, listen to the word of the Lord. He's leading you there. You don't bleed the people because the brook is drying up. You need to hear the word of the Lord. What is God saying to you? Let me get back to my message. They were wretched. They were miserable because they thought that wealth, riches and wealth was the same thing as spiritual health. They were poor and blind because they thought they had need of nothing. Everybody needs something, and everybody needs somebody. And the Lord says, you're also naked. Naked. Why were they naked? They were naked because they weren't clothed with the image of Christ. They were more about their image and how other people viewed them, the words of man. So they weren't clothed with the image of Christ. They weren't clothed with the armor of light. They weren't clothed with the whole armor of God. They were not clothed with humility. They weren't clothed with the love of God. And neither were they clothed with the power of the Holy Ghost. They were naked. They were naked. Lukewarmness. The lukewarm are naked because you have no power. You've been so distracted with all the issues of this world, material things, wealth, riches, possessions. You're so distracted with all that stuff. You have become naked. You have no power. Jesus promised his disciples in Luke 24, verse 49, behold, I will send the promise of my Father upon you. But he said, tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you're endued with power from on high. Until you're endued with power. To be endued with power is to be clothed with power. When the last time you exercised power? The Lord promised to send you the power. But when is the last time you exercised power? We are to be clothed with power. But see, some of us ain't found our Jerusalem yet. He said, wait, tarry in the city of Jerusalem. The city of Jerusalem is a place of peace. That's what Jerusalem means, new peace. Jerusalem, new peace. So Jerusalem is a place of peace, but it's also a place of blessing. And God says, wait on me. Wait on me. I will send the promise of the Father upon you. But wait in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. Now, to be endued with power simply means to be clothed with power from on high. So being endued with power clothes you, but without being endued with power, guess what? You're wretched, you're miserable, you're poor, you're blind, and you're naked. Oh, and besides that, you're powerless. Huh? You're powerless. We need to understand how important this is. After the resurrection, Jesus made a point, an explicit point, that had no room for misunderstanding. Whatever you do before you go out to all the world that I'm sending you, you need to have power. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Jesus standing there on the Mount of Olives talking to his disciples. Before he ascended to heaven, he says, but you shall receive power. You see, they were concerned, Lord, will you restore the kingdom again to Israel at this time? He says, not for you to know the times and the seasons that the Father has in his own authority. But you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. We're more concerned about money than we are power. I'm talking about Holy Ghost power. Huh? You know what? He also told his disciples in the Great Commission that there would be supernatural signs that follow them. But guess what? Supernatural signs don't follow the lukewarm because they're naked. They're naked. They're naked. Mark 16, verse 17, 18. Jesus told his disciples in the Great Commission, he says, but these signs shall follow you that believe in my name. You shall cast out devils. When is the last time some of you cast out a devil? We need to cast out devils. First, you got to cast the devil out of yourself. Cast him out of your children. And you might have to cast him out of your spouse. You have power. You don't like the way they're treating you? You don't like the way they're acting toward you? All you got to do is believe and stand in your power. It's the devil, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. You're coming out of my loved one. I command you to leave my house. You're not paying any rent up here. You will not live rent free in my house. Get out of my house. Get out of here. You have power. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. That's Christianity 101. They shall speak with new tongues. Oh, my God. How many of you speak? Oh, my God. Speak with new tongues. New tongues. Huh? Remember when you were living for the devil, you spoke in tongues? Every cuss word and curse word, every profanity you could utter, you spoke in tongues when you lived for the devil. Now that you're in God, why aren't you speaking with new tongues? He said they shall take up serpents. They shall take up serpents. And you know, some Christians take that literally. They actually take up rattlesnakes in their church. And some of those fools have been bitten, they died. He said you should take up serpents. He said if you drink any deadly thing, it shall not harm you. If you drink any deadly thing, it shall not harm you. Can you believe me when I tell you this? Many of you have drank deadly things. You've eaten deadly things. And you didn't know it, you survived because of the Holy Ghost in you. I know I'm telling the truth about this one. My late pastor shared a story with us one time about a meat processing plant in the Minneapolis, Minnesota area. And in this particular apartment, they canned hams. And so for Christmas, they gave all the employees in the department a canned ham as a Christmas gift. Well, many of the employees didn't return to work because they got sick from ptomaine poisoning. But this one Holy Ghost-filled woman, she returned to work. She didn't know what was going on. She said her ham was good. And she just figured that the scripture was at work in her life, that if I drink or eat any deadly thing, it shall not harm me. This is why we pray over our food. This is why we give thanks. This is why we bless what we eat. See, every creature of God is good. Nothing to be refused if it's received with thanksgiving. So we thank God for our food. We ask Him to cleanse it, to bless it, to the nourishment of our physical bodies. You don't know what somebody put in your drink. So if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not harm them. Then He said, they shall lay hands. Oh, my God. They shall lay hands on the sick. How many of you have laid hands on the sick since you've been a believer? How many have laid hands on the sick? It's all right to go for the aspirin bottle or go for the medicine cabinet, but you look warm if you didn't lay hands on the sick first. You see, the aspirin may not work unless you lay hands on the sick. The medicine may not work unless you lay hands. You have to come in agreement with God. I don't tell nobody to stop taking their medicine. But God has told all of us to lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Now, if we don't have these supernatural signs following us, then maybe we're still naked. Maybe we're still wretched, miserable, poor, blind, naked, no power. Now, I'm not just preaching this. This is what we live. This is what we live. And I thank God for blessing me with a Holy Ghost-filled wife. You know, my kids was coming up. They got at least two things when they were sick. They used to get pity care after Joyce laid hands on them.
Join us Sunday at Agape Word Fellowship, where Dr. Jerry Maya Williams is your pastor, proclaiming a life-changing message of the agape love and power that God is. For more information, log on now at www.agapeword.net, 1430 South New Hope Road, Agape Word Fellowship.